Can we have some fun tonight? Let's not be too religious about all this. I realize the presence of God was very much here, but now I'm here, so you can really lighten up, because I ain't all that. I do serve Christian Nations. I'm one of their field representatives. I am their field representative for all Bible colleges and Dove, to help them in any way I can. And I came back from Albania. They have Christian Nations there. I'm supposed to go to Cameroon in July to do a Bible school graduation there. So I just kind of go. I go at my own expense. Christian Nations does not fund me. I have an organization called Peace to the Nations now, and what I do is I go to the world. I was in 8 nations last year, and I'm fully funded personally. I don't need any money. God takes good care of me. I've got a very good salary. And all that, like for instance, a venue that I come and do too, is like this. It's something that I do. I take it all and it goes into mission. So that's the beauty of what I get to do. If they don't give, I don't care. Some guys, I mean, it's a big deal for these guys to go out and preach. They've got to have the money. I've got money. Hallelujah. Amen. I've had some. I had not. I like money.
Yeah.
Amen. I can be able to go do what God tells me to do. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think I've got a word for you. It's going to help you. As I was praying about what to do, it's kind of like a mosquito in a nudist colony. I know what to do, but I don't know where to start. You know, there's just so much opportunity. And what do you say to guys? We've got young guys growing up in the things of God. We've got seasoned men here that do a better job up here preaching than I can. For some reason he asked me to come, so here I am. I've got all my children in ministry. I've had four of my 5 grandchildren on mission fields. Life can't get any better than that. All your kids serving Jesus. My daughter's a prophetess. She's and my son-in-law, he's a great teacher. They go to India a lot. They love India. And then my son and my daughter-in-law are growing a great church and doing great things for God. And I am, quote, their kind of missions guy, so that's why I get to go do what I do. You know, the truth is that if there was ever a time that we as men are being attacked, I don't think that our dads had near the attacks that we have. We get blindsided on every corner, guys. Come on, if you got a hormone at all working in your body, you understand that there is a lot of things going on. You know, Jesus told us to come that he is the fountain of life. He is, out of us shall flow rivers of living water. And he says, everybody that wants to thirst, come to me and I'll give you to drink. The problem is when men begin to get a little bit empty, they'll start looking for other streams to drink out of. And I found that in my own life, if we're going to be honest, I have done that. Even as a spirit-filled pastor, I've kind of got by the wayside and got in some filthy streams and started drinking and realized suddenly that you're polluting your soul. And you come back to yourself and say, man, what in the world am I doing here? I've got the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, Jesus is alive. We need a wake-up call and understand that the most you in here today experience from the Word of God than what your children or your grandchildren have ever experienced. There's something deeper in you that you've not tapped into. And I see it more in our Western culture today. In Western culture, like if you get my age, you're done. You're old. You're not relevant. If I go to Asia, if I go to Latin America, if I go to Africa, I'm the man. I went to El Salvador and preached to Youth for the Nations. They had 10 Latin nations there. I was the main speaker, and I was 65 years old. Youth from all over Latin America. And what we're being sold down the river, so to speak. There's gifts in you. There's more in you, and you need to not get off your lazy rear end, tap into the goodness of God, and understand that you've got something to give this next generation. Because mm-hmm. A lot of people might argue with your gray hair, your bald hair, your bald head, whatever it may be, they may argue with that, but they can't argue with the Spirit of God that's on your life.
Yeah.
And just like, I don't want to play any more games. I'm the age now. I don't care. If I offend someone, well, you know what? Don't let the door split you where don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. I don't really care. Because what I want to do is I want to speak truth. I don't want to play any more games. I'm tired of dealing with my stupid flesh from time to time. Amen. Can you get a witness?
Yeah.
Amen. Because the Bible declares that we're more than conquerors.
Amen.
Through him that loved us. We're more than. And it means beyond measure. There's something in us that we're superior. We are to be superior in every single circumstance that we come into. But that doesn't, we're preeminent. We're more than a match for anything that happens. Mm. And so often the enemy comes and emasculates us. Mm. And we just kind of lie down and put up with it when you've got the Spirit of God on your life. What kind of conquerors are we in Jesus Christ? We're conquerors that are superior in every circumstance. We're preeminent. We're surpassing in every aspect. We're unrivaled by any person or circumstance. See, there's power in your life. Untapped. Can we get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
The Greek word conqueror describes an overcomer. It's a champion. It's a victor, a winner. Someone that's strong and confident. And they're an overwhelming, prevailing force that can't be defeated in Christ. We can't do that in our flesh. You can't use your flesh to discipline yourself. You're a spiritual being. You have to use the Holy Spirit to help you discipline yourself. Hmm. I believe that we are a force so explosive that we're able to conquer every single thing that comes our way. So it's no wonder the enemy is always doing his best to intimidate you. You know, I just went through it. I've got this all planned out. So let's just follow the word. I pastored a successful church, Jews. I pioneered a church. I've been to 40 nations. I have a church in Africa, a Christ for Nations Bible School there that I've raised up. I'm also a part of another organization where we go. I was the first to bring the Bible school into Cambodia in Khmer language there. We were able to go and do great things. But when I transitioned this church, I came into a real conflict because everything I was, everything I'd ever been, was a pastor. And I went from the pulpit to the pew. And I went through culture shock. Transitions will get you. And I thought, being the man of God that I was, that I had all that stuff dealt with. But I had a very, I'll put it this way, I didn't have the best childhood. And when I made that transition, all this stuff come roaring back. Rejection. My dad died when I was 6. Never was able to trust a male influence at all. Everyone that I ever did, because I was a red-headed smart aleck. And I could make anybody mad very quickly. So what I did is I found that I brought this rejection, this inability to be accepted, begin to come at me. And I questioned the Lord about this because I know the Lord spoke to me to do the transition. I said, Lord, what's up? He said, I got something I want to deal with. The stuff that if you got stuff going on right now, maybe it's because the hand of God said, I want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. You start acting out, doing things that outside your character because God's wanting to deal with something.
That's right.
You want to bury it. You want the fire to go away. God says, no, I'm going to turn it up.
There you go.
Because I want to use you. I want to use you.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to use you, I want that out. My wife preached that to me as I was coming out the car today. And as she was going at it, I just kind of looked at her and I said, you. Because it's my birthday. Today's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah. 67, so she said, what's your birthday? I said, yeah, what would I rather do than preach on my birthday? So we begin to get threatened, guys, and the enemy, you know, I heard a guy say it one time, he says, so well, the devil is a hurt whisperer. So he'll get something that hurts you in the past, back when you were young, and you'd forgotten it, and you don't know why you act out in certain ways, and he whispers in your ear. I call him a chigger. I don't know how a chigger knows to get to that vital place in your life, in your delicate parts, and bite you where he does, but he's able to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of way the enemy does. That's why it's important for us to pound this in ourselves, that we are overcomers, that we are more than conquerors. See, he wants you to defeat you with his lies, because you are the only threat to him on this planet. Mm-hmm. You are. Not your neighbor, you. You're armed with the name of Jesus,
yep,
the power of God. You are. And he hates you for that. He hates your children. He hates your grandchildren. He hates everything about you. So he always whispers abusive, demeaning things in your ears. You find that when your wife says something that you suddenly react in a way. And she, what's the deal with you? It's because somewhere in your life, the enemy, and he whispers in your ear. He whispers. He's after your relationships. He's after your joy. He's after your peace. Yeah. He's after your marriage.
Yeah.
And he's always lying. Always lying. You can always tell he's lying because when you don't have peace, you don't have joy, you don't feel righteous, guess what? You're listening to lies. Mm-hmm. Because the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right.
Because see, he don't want you to be an expression of the abundant life. He doesn't want people to look at you and see joy. Mm-hmm. And see peace. He doesn't want that. He wants you cussing in the Houston traffic like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he always is trying to get us to worry. He's trying to get us to be fearful. But see, he wants to keep you from becoming the champion that God has made you to be. He doesn't want you to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus has freely given you. He doesn't want you to be an expression of his presence. He's always attempting to kill, steal, and destroy.
That's right.
Now, we don't want to major on the devil because he's a liar. Yeah. And we want the truth of God to come alive in us, and that we'll awaken, and we'll become the warriors and the champion that God's had made us to be. So we always say that he's made us more than a conqueror. What does a more than a conqueror look like? Let's say that the guy he's been training all these years to be the heavyweight champion of the world, and he's about to go fight for the title, and then he's fighting another guy that has been believing and training all of his life to be the heavyweight champion. The cash prize is like $16 trillion or something like that. So they go in. And they fight. And they fight, and then round one, round two, round three, I mean, it's bloody, it's hard, it's everything. I mean, it's man against man, it's muscle against muscle, it's blood, it's sweat. And then finally the guy walks away and he's got the belt. And they're giving this huge amount of money. He's a conqueror. He's done it. He's got all the fame. And then he goes home to a little petite wife. She didn't train. She didn't work out. She did nothing. And she says, give me the check. That's more than a car.
Yeah, that's more than a car.
That's who you are. In Christ, that's who you are. You got the check. You have the authority. You have dominion. Subdue. Kick butt, take names. That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. See, in Christ, we're armed with the Word of God, and it's with a force that's so explosive that literally is that nothing can defeat or dominate us. But yet we have listened to the lies of the enemy somewhere that we've lost confidence. Well, I don't know as much of the Bible as I know. Well, as I should. I really don't know what to. Hey, if you know one verse, you're armed and dangerous. Mm-hmm. You don't have to know 50 verses. Sometimes just one will do it.
That's right.
And I believe that what we do is we love stories of people that overcome impossible odds. If we go around and start doing an inventory of the people that's overcome impossible odds, I bet you there's a room full of people here that have men that have absolutely had tremendous miracles in your life, and you've overcome impossible odds. You shouldn't be sitting here. And I've come here tonight to see if I can stir up some fight in the men of God. Can I get you mad? I love enthusiasm. I'll keep believing for it. You know, I would say like doing men. I was telling Pastor Scott coming here. I said, "Yeah, doing men's events like herding cats. It's difficult to get men together. And you get women together. They talk, they chat, and they shout, and they joy and stuff. Men just come." Doesn't matter, because I'm one of you. I do the same thing. We all heard it. It's not the size of the dog in the fight, the size of the fight in the dog. You don't have to be physically strong. You don't have to be extremely gifted. You just have faith that Jesus Christ has made you more than a conqueror.
Yes.
If God be for you, who can be against you? If God be for you, who can be against you? Sometimes you just need to say that to yourself about 10 times. He says, however long it takes, you can do all things that Christ has strengthened you. See, godly is always looking for the unlikely to show himself strong. We all fit that. Every single one of us in here fit that. Yep. And it doesn't matter the size of your size. It doesn't matter your age. It does not matter how big your giant is. It matters how big your God is.
Yes, yes.
How big is your God? Is he bigger than your problem? Or is he smaller than your problem? Are you exalting the problem above? Are you making it bigger? All right, I picked on you long enough. Let's get in here. 2 Samuel 23, 8 through 12. I'm going to talk to you about three men. I'm going to read this verse to you. You're not probably don't want to probably got a Bible here. If you do, well, you got a man's got a Bible. It is 2 Samuel 23, 8 through 12, and I'm just going to start reading. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Joashba, Bashabeth, Tachmonite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino the Ezonite because he killed 800 men at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, or Dudu, the Ahoite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defiled the Philistines, who were gathered there for battle, and men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Harite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of a field, defending it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Father, I thank you for the anointing upon your word.
Thank you.
I thank you for blessing the men of God here in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, man.
These verses are dedicated to three mighty men. And when you read the end of 2 Samuel 23, it's like reading a telephone book. They're just one name after another. There's 37 names there at all, and men who all fought valiantly, But this passage focuses on three. Three men. And they did extraordinary feats in battle. And Adino, he killed 800 men in one battle. Eleazar, he rose while everyone else retreated and attacked the Philistines. And he fought so long his hand stuck to the sword. And he brought about a great victory that day. And Shammah, he's famous for defending a bean field. One of my favorite guys. All these people were running. As everybody was running from the Philistines, here this guy, he shows up, Shammah does, and he defends a bean field. And the Lord said that because he defended the bean field, God brought about the great victory that day. Now, David had to go out and recruit. And if you would like anybody else, he wanted the most talented men. If you're a businessman, just like you're a captain, if you're in the military, what do you want? You want the most talented men for battle. And we would think that King David would go out and find the best men. He would recruit because he wanted the fastest, the strongest, the most skilled. Any coach will tell you that. That's why they move from city to city. They're always looking for good guys. The coach wants a good team so he can win. Mm-hmm. That's what they want. I mean, you can't win a game. I'll put it this way. You need good guys. You don't need a bunch of donkeys. You need quarter horses. Mm-hmm. So no king wants to go to war with the intellectually challenged, the weak, the slow, unskilled, discouraged. He wants a dream team. Amen? If that's what you want, that's what I want. Yeah. So David, you know, he'd been secretly anointed by Samuel, the prophet, and he was now the king of Israel. And Saul has been rejected by God because of his disobedience. And he was not going to resign. David was on the run. He needed an army for protection from Saul and from the Philistines because they were always after the Israelites. So Saul, who David served and loved, he said, decree, if anyone helps me find David or any of his guys, then, you know, I'll reward you and I'll execute them on the spot. And so David's in hiding and he's building an army. And he wants to look for the quality of men. And the problem is he's isolated. So he's got to build with whom God sends him. Kind of like pastors. We just got to build with who God sends us. A lot of churches try to go out and hire. That doesn't work very well. I'm always promoted from within. 1 Samuel 22:1 says this. This is the type of guys that came to him. David therefore departed from and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Here the king is living in a cave. So when his brothers and all of his father's house heard it, they went down there to him, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was in discontented gathered to him. What a wonderful congregation. So he became captain over them, and about 400 complaining men came to be with him. Now, David, the new anointed king, he should be living in luxury of the camp, of the palace, he would think. If I had been anointed by king to be king by the prophet Samuel, I would at least think that I would have some kind of inheritance, but David had not. He didn't have it. He was in a hideout with 400 unhappy men that showed up to join him because they had nowhere else to go. They were in distress, in debt, and discontented. They were not the most gifted, the most talented. None of them are successful. They failed at life and they come to join David's army. And David is the captain of these unsuccessful men. What great leadership. So when Jesus found me, I was a mess. How about you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Are you all a mess? Huh? Anyone here arrived yet? Any perfect men yet? You got anybody? Good, I don't have to cast out a spirit of lying. Good. So we're kind of all in this together, right? We all got stuff, right? No one's arrived. So the good news is Jesus uses those who are in distress, in debt, and discontented. All of it. All the three D's here. We're in it. See, I believe that we are all destined to be in God's army. Every single one of us.
Mm-hmm.
This story encourages me because I see that God promotes people with problems.
Yeah, that's good.
He promotes people with problems.
Amen.
No one here is perfect. No one raised their hand if they were. And yet you think that you're disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
What lie have you been listening to? So the truth of it is many in here have failed at life. They've been divorced, bankrupt, possibly served time. Probably someone in here right now is fighting an addiction of some sort. We're not here to judge you. We're here to link arms with you and say you're a great man of God.
Amen. That's right.
You're a great man of God. We're not here to try to embarrass you, shame you. We're here to encourage you, inspire you, tell you who you really are.
Yes.
You're more than a conqueror. Mm-hmm. See, so the sun sets free is free indeed. Here, I don't care what addiction or whatever you're facing every day, you say, I'm free in Jesus. I'm the righteous God in Christ Jesus. I don't care what the devil says. Yeah, but if you don't know what I did, I don't care. You don't know what Jesus did for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, when these men submitted to King David, something happened in their lives because David was God's man. And I believe there's a strength when you submit to godly leadership, when you really submit to godly leadership, God starts moving in your life. When you get properly aligned, you will get properly assigned.
Amen.
So many guys, they hop from here to here to here to here to here. Not amen, everywhere. Church worldwide does. We almost treat the church like Walmart and Target. I don't like them, so I go here. Now, I believe that God wants you to get planted somewhere. I mean, all of that's us right. Understand that's horticulture right. In some way. How many is going to replant a plant every 2 months, every week, and expect it to grow?
Yeah, that's true.
You've got to get planted. It's a requirement. So God wants you to prosper, and He wants you to be a part of a team. And Christianity is a team sport. We all win together. Amen?
Yeah, that's right. Amen. That's right.
If the pastor's preaching, it doesn't matter. He's in the limelight. Listen, it's the person in the back. It's the person in the parking lot. It's the one that's cleaning the toilets. That's what's making it work.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not the keynote speaker.
Right.
Because none of that would happen without that.
Yeah.
Helps ministry is really the greatest ministry of the church.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, how many know that if you're going to be great at something, you need a coach? You need a mentor. You need godly leadership in your life. Someone that you can trust to talk to.
That's right.
And I believe that these imperfect men found David, and God began to use David. And David, I believe with all my heart, that he was able to look at men and say, I see your gifting, I see you're good at this. And he began to brag on these guys, began to encourage them. And guess what happened? These men became mighty.
Mm-hmm.
All through scriptures, we see Jesus endearing himself to people that were social outcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed a crazy prayer one time. I said, Lord, bring me the people that no one else wants. Guess what he did?
Mm-hmm.
They all came. And they all needed help. But I always said this, we're no rock zone. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what the heck's happened in your life. No rocks thrown here. Because we all got something.
That's right. We all got something.
So I believe the Bible is very clear about that. That God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. So let's jump into Adino quickly. And Adino, he is persistent in overwhelming odds. He kills 800 men by himself, not with an Uzi. He kills them the old-fashioned way, with swords, knives, shields. How did he do that? I mean, let's just use our imagination. How in the world does one man defeat 800 men. The only way I can come up with is that he's protecting some kind of path where only one guy can get through at a time. Because 800 men at him at one time is impossible. But one guy at a time. And then Philistine says, we're coming through. He says, over my dead body, you're coming through. He says, we can arrange that. And so he comes. Now, I don't know if you're a betting man, but if I was betting, Christian wagering, I would think, okay, first guy comes, he's got a 1 in 2 chance. Second man, 1 in 4. Third, 1 in 8. Fourth, 1 in 16. And the next one, fifth, 1 in 32. Sixth, 1 in 64. Seventh, 1 in 128. Get it?
Yeah.
You got to do that 800 times. Who's going to bet on it? Come on.
Nobody.
Who's going to bet on it?
Nobody.
I'm not going to bet on it.
No.
Because he's going to die. Because there's no way that man can maintain that strength for that long. But see, the tighter he becomes, the more advantage his enemy has. But he just refuses to quit. And God has a way about strengthening the guy that won't quit. Because when he realized if he quit, he died. You can't quit. You can't quit. So we see that this guy, he killed 800 at a time. I don't know. God had to empower him. So how, you know, we all heard this. How do you eat an elephant? How do you eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time. How do you get through life? Sometimes it's one day at a time. Sometimes it's 1 hour at a time. Sometimes it's 1 minute at a time. If you try to take it all in, guys, at one time, you try to bring in all the debt, all the problems, all the difficulties, it's going to kill you. But you can do one thing. You can fight one problem in Jesus' name. And he will empower you to take on the next. See, God has made you to be a problem solver. He's made you to be a conqueror. That's who you are. God is with you. He said, Jesus said he'd never leave you. He'd never forsake you. So, man, I'm going to skip a bunch here because I got a lot of good stuff to say, but you don't want to hear it.
Yeah, we do.
No, I know. This is too much. Can I give you? I'll give you one of my favorite things in the world. One of my favorite verses? Genesis 39:2. I was going to skip over that. I'm glad I didn't. The Bible says in Genesis 39:2, it says an amazing thing. It says the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. They hated him so much they wanted to murder him. Talk about rejection. Joseph was rejected. The most rejected man in the world is Jesus. He took your rejection.
Yeah.
So they rejected him, sold into slavery. He went from being his father's favorite to being sold butt naked on an auction block. And because they believed that humanity was just that. If they could buy you, then they would check out all your parts, make sure if they wanted you to reproduce, you could. Check your teeth out. Had you bend over, they wanted to make sure nothing was wrong with their property because they were buying flesh. And that's the way this 17-year-old boy was sold. He probably didn't know the language. Probably had to learn it. He had no resume other than that he was a spoiled brat and could tattle on his brothers. Mm-hmm. That was his resume.
Yeah.
And he looked good to code. That's it. That's it. He owned nothing but two things. Just two. The breath in his lungs that God gave him. And a dream in his heart that God gave him. That's all he had. He didn't drive a luxury car. He didn't own a home. He owned nothing. The clothes that was on his back was not his. He himself was not his own. He'd been bought and purchased. So, and God says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful, prosperous man. How could he be successful? He doesn't own anything. His resume is nothing. How could he be successful? How? How? The Lord's with him. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. So why are you successful?
Well, I'm one who's got the most toys. Here's one. They're the one who wins.
How are you successful? God's with you. God's with you.
Amen.
You understand? And when God is with you, this devil worshiping heathen, he was a devil worshiper, saw that the Lord was with him. And saw that everything he put his hand to prospered. So, question. Is God with you? Is he with you?
Yes.
I'm asking a question. I need a verbal answer. Yes. Is he with you? Yes. Come on, man. Say it with your mouth. You may believe it. Is he with you?
Yes.
Now, next question. Are you successful?
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have it. Oh, it has nothing to do with what you got. See, it's not what you have. It's who has you.
Amen.
That's good.
I don't care how much stuff you've got. I don't care how many millions of dollars you've got. It doesn't matter. Some of the most unhappy people in the world are trillionaires. Because they don't understand that God is with them or can be with them. So these men fought because they knew that God was with them. That means that when you go to your job, you understand that God is with you. That means that when you're in your marriage, you understand that God is with you. That when you're with your grandchildren, your children, that you understand that God is with you. When you're by yourself, tempted to look at things you should not look at, you understand that God is with you. Yeah, but I messed up. God's still with you. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. See, God never, ever one time sat down and ran a spreadsheet on you. Yeah, here's Terry. Yeah, he got good hair. Oh, but man, right here. He's not, no, he doesn't. Oh, he got bumpy hair. Okay, cost analysis across the board. Terry's going to cost us, let's see, is he worth the investment? You think God ever runs a spreadsheet on you like that? But that's the way he determines success, isn't it?
Yes.
You're either asset or liability, correct?
Right, yeah.
If you're a liability, then guess what happens? You got to go. God doesn't do that with you.
Right.
And the when we begin to wake up and understand that, then we begin to step into the more than conqueror attitude. We understand that we're successful because God's with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. You see, God's grace, through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you reign in life as a king. You don't earn either one of those. You don't earn righteousness, and you don't earn grace.
There you go.
He gives them to you.
Yes.
And how? What do you do with grace and righteousness? You reign as a king. You reign as a king through what? Through the gifts that God's given you. Everything that's good in you, God's given you. And the heart whisperer comes around and says, God's not with you. He's not with you. I know what you did. God would fire you if everyone knew what you did. They would throw you out of church. Listen, and every single man here is in the same boat. We get isolated, and we think that we're all by ourselves, and so we put a little face on. We get out, we do our best, and God wants to bring the reality of His kingdom into your heart. You can't earn salvation. You can't earn relationship. He gives it freely to you.
Yes.
I don't know how you think about it, but if I had to sit down and set a clock, I said, okay, babe, I'm going to spend an hour with you at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. From 7 to 8, baby, I'm going to spend time with you. And then I'm sitting there, and all right, it's 7:59. I really need to go. I love you, babe. Love you. Now I got to go. 8 o'clock. So we don't do relationship that way. Mm-hmm. Why don't we do Jesus that way? I had coffee with Jesus. I sat down and have a cup of coffee with Jesus, and I talk to Jesus what's in my heart. I don't pray the 15 things, the 6 steps. I talk to Jesus out of heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I talk about what's important to me. And I said, Lord, anything you want me to pray about this morning? I said, I just have a relationship. That's freeing.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Okay.
That's good. There you go. Yeah.
So then we got Eliezer, the son of Dodo the Ohite. Oh, man, what a guy. One of the 3 mighty men. And when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated, he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and his people returned after him only to plunder. This guy, he had persistence in overwhelming fatigue. The Philistines pushed the men of Israel back. They were overpowered, and everyone retreated. They're in a battle. It's blood and guts, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's bad. And what did he do? He arose and attacked. He ran towards the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And he fought so long that his hand was welded to the sword. I mean, here he held a hammer or something like that so long, you start trying to get loose of it, and you feel like your hands, you got to almost pry your hand loose of it. Everybody?
Guitar.
That's what he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had to pry his hand loose of that. What do we have? It's called the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
See, you know how Jesus defeated the devil? After he was totally exhausted as a man, he went nuclear on the devil. How did he do it? He quoted the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he did.
Yep.
He just quoted the word. Everything the enemy said, everything he told him, he knew was a lie. Jesus, what did he do? He quoted the word.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. Mm-hmm. You can't let go of it. Well, you know, I read it and I don't understand it. I don't understand why I can eat a good meal and it nourishes me. I don't sit down and try to understand what was in the squash, what was in the tomatoes, what was in the meat. I don't try to analyze that. I just eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it does? It nourishes me.
Yeah.
I don't understand the Bible. I don't care. Read it. It nourishes you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I got ADHD. I don't like to read it. Listen to it. pick up the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let go of it.
Yeah.
Do you understand that the number one way to defeat temptation, addictions, anything is just through meditating on the scriptures and saying it out loud. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. We pattern our lives after Jesus. That's what Jesus did.
Yeah. Yep.
We don't do that because someone wrote a great book, or that because somebody's a great speaker and he said it. No, that's what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. Jesus said to the devil, and the devil left. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee.
Yes.
Amen?
That's right.
God says that I am the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. That I have the mind of Christ. That I'm able to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Mm-hmm. See, we begin to say that my youth is renewed as the eagles.
Yeah. Amen.
See, we begin to say what God says. Oh, my gosh, my back, my asthma, a heart trouble. No, it's not yours. Don't take that.
Right.
Take on what Christ has done.
Yes.
I'm redeemed. I'm set free by the power of Jesus Christ. By His stripes, I'm healed. Praise God. And listen, I'm not just saying that because I heard it in the Bible. I was healed of congestive heart failure. My heart was producing 27% of the blood that my body needed. I couldn't pull my own luggage through the airport. My wife had to pull it for me. I was 1 week out from getting a defibrillator. And the miracle power of God healed my body. I'm telling you, man, God is alive. And we've got to wake up to the fact that we're walking the miraculous power of God.
Yes.
That I'm no more special than anybody else. You've got as much power as anybody does because you've got Jesus.
Amen.
You don't need a degree, Doctor Who. That's just piled higher and deeper. PhD. It's just all it is. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry to be going around like that, but it's the truth. Oh, my goodness. I'll give you this quick illustration. Portland, Oregon, flight from Portland, Oregon to Boston. Henry Dempsey heard a noise in the back, and he's a pilot. Turns it over to the co-pilot, and he goes back and starts to investigate. He reaches over and to the back of the aircraft, and his airplane hit an air pocket, and he hit the back door, and it swung open, and he realized what the problem was, and it sucked Henry Dempsey out of the airplane. Copilot heard the door open and he knew immediately what had happened. He radioed and says, I've lost the pilot over the ocean. You need to send someone out. You need to send him now. He says, I need to land as quickly as possible. They get in coordinates and they begin to come in. Miraculously, Henry Dempsey grabbed a hold of the outdoor ladder of the airplane. He grabbed, for 15 minutes, the plane flew at 190 miles an hour at 4,000 feet.
Wow.
And as he landed, he had to push himself up in the sit-up position to keep his head from hitting the pavement 12 inches away.
Mm-hmm.
It took the airport personnel several minutes to pry Henry's fingers from the ladder. You may feel like that your life is not that good, and you may have the temptation to let go, but have you considered the alternative? Hang on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't quit.
Yes. There you go.
Don't quit. The son of Haggai, the Harite, Philistine, gathered together in a troop where there's a piece of ground full of lentils, so the people fled from the Philistines. But he stationed himself in the middle of the field and defended and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. And there's a lot of things I'll give my life for. Thank you. A lot of things you give for your country, your family, your freedom. Great causes to fight for. This guy impresses me. I'm not dying for a Beanfield. One soldier boasts, comes in and says, hey, I got my assignment today.
So you did? Yeah. I'm protecting the king. King David. I'm his right hand man. What's your assignment? I'm protecting the bean field. It's my job. Uh-huh. But, man, what are you doing? You got the bean field? Yeah. There's no small jobs in the kingdom of God. None. From parking lot to toilet duty.
Yes.
Sweeping the floor. No small jobs, guys. None. None. Never forget that. Never forget that. No small jobs. He's called by God to protect the bean field. Small beginning, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Not a very big job. But he did it with all his heart.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't complain about it. What if he would have gotten bad at it? I said, he down there, do it. But our guys going over here to get all these good jobs. I'm over here in this bean field. I don't even have any shade. Bean field. I'm better than, I train like everybody else. I can fight like everybody else. I'm in the bean field. He's out there kicking the dust. I'm in a dang bean field. Can't believe I've been out here in a dang bean field. Why in the world am I out here in a bean field? Why in the world? I'm more important than that. What happened if he got that attitude? It'd been over, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Been over. But this guy decided that he was going to protect it and he was going to move. Think about the Stephen. All the things. Stephen, he was a waiter, waiting tables for older women, Jewish women.
Yeah.
And he, signs and wonders and miracles begin to follow this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was a waiter.
Yeah.
See, it's, what is your assignment? What's God giving you to do? It's no small assignment. Do it with all your heart and let God use you in a great way. Of all the things that here, this man, the defendant of being filled, for a man that waited tables, we hear in scriptures today and we read about them as examples to us and how the word be great men of God. This is the way we are, great men of God. Be persistent in overwhelming odds. Be persistent despite the overwhelming fatigue, and be persistent in a humble assignment.
Yes, amen.
Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit here tonight. And I know men from all walks of life, Lord. They don't want to play games. They don't. They're tired of trying to put up a front. I'm asking here, Lord, that you would minister to each and every one. Holy Spirit, that you'd strengthen every person here. That the one who came in here tonight that even felt like it was coming and that I'm a hypocrite shouldn't be sitting in here. I said, that's a lie of the devil. You're a great man of God and you need to embrace who you are in Christ. Lord, I pray that you strengthen these men, that you would encourage each and every one. And I know that, Lord, that in their influence, that they have abilities, Lord, to reach into their children's lives, their grandchildren's lives, their neighbors, their business associates, their clients. To be an example, Lord. What a greater thing than it is for us, Lord, to begin to touch the lives of people through what you've given us, through this wonderful gift of righteousness. That, Lord, that we have your blood that covers all of our sin, that we've been made free. Today we embrace our freedom. We declare that we're free. We declare, Lord, that you have so gifted us that we are the answer for the world's problems today. Each person here today. Lord, I ask by the Spirit of God that you'd activate every single man in here today. And Lord, that I know that they're under construction. I know that they're not perfect. As I am not, but Lord, I know this, that they've got a gift. They have your spirit. They have a willingness to do your will, or they wouldn't even be sitting here tonight. I'm asking for your power and your presence.
to touch each and every one. That these, Lord, men that are here today, that be written of them, that Lord, that they took care of a bean field. They refused to quit. They were able to just never overcome fatigue. It doesn't matter that, Lord, they stood for their family. They stood for their children. And Lord, I pray for your presence on each and every one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I know that it, as men, as we kind of, we're protective. We have boundaries. And the reason why we do that is because, well, we've all been burned. Every one of us have. So we're careful to not let certain weaknesses be found. But I want to ask tonight, we'd like to pray. We want us to link arms together with one another. Not me, but you. We're all in a link. If you're here tonight and you're struggling in any way, it's not a sign that you're in sin. It's not a sign that you know, a spotlight on you. No, it's a sign that you just, hey, I don't want to do this by myself. I want some help. I need some strength. I want some guys to help hold my arms up. You may be having trouble in your marriage. You may have trouble in your business, struggling in your health, struggling with temptations, addictions. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what it is. I really don't want us for just a moment of time, guys, just a moment of time, that we drop the crap. So, Lord, I just need help. I need you to help me. The Spirit of God here is to minister. The Bible is very clear. If you humble yourself beside God, He'll lift you up. And I just ask, if you're here tonight, you need prayer. I'm not gonna make a big deal out of you. We're just gonna encircle you. We're gonna pray for you, pray for strength for you. We're going to join hands with one another and say, listen, you're a mighty man. You're great in the kingdom of God. That's you. Why don't you just raise your hand right where you are anyway. See that hand? Whatever it is, guys, let's just for a moment, let's just, those that raise your hands, we just raise your hand here, sir. You, sir. Anyone else? You, sir. Anyone else? I want you to encircle these guys. I want you to get with these guys. This man. Who is the other man right here, sir? And I don't want you to pray a prayer that you heard in church. I want you to pray a prayer that the Spirit of God speaks to you. Pray for these guys.
Thank you.
there's a lot of different ministries that's here tonight. You're from different churches, and you know, we're all in this together. We want every church to prosper, every ministry here to be blessed. We're not in competition. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. What we want to do more than anything else is we want to rise to the occasion. I want each and every one of you to fully grasp the fact that I'm coming from a situation in my life that has been very difficult. But I had congestive heart failure, and I've gone through transition. I think the transition was more difficult than the congestive heart failure. Of course, it's kind of where you are, what's going on. And some guys have really gone through transitions, and you've lost yourself for a while. And I just declare over you guys that this is a new season. And there's a new assignment that's coming on your life. There's a new assignment that's coming. Nothing's lost. You're right on time. You think that, well, this is the end. This is all there is. I really believe by the Spirit of God that I honestly believe that we're going to enter into a whole new time of the things of God. That God's going to pour His Spirit out in ways that we've never seen before. Maybe some but have seen, but I mean really do it. And we're going to see a great harvest that's going to come here. God's given each and every one here wisdom. And man, there's an anointing in your life. There's a call of God in your life. And, you know, there's I'll just say a lot of distractions around you. There's a lot of voices, a lot of people talking to you, distracting you. But God's placed His hand on your life as a young boy. You prayed a dangerous prayer one time. And you gave God your heart. And said, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. And I believe that the Spirit of God is going to begin to move you in a way. You think you've got plans, and you're doing your best to fulfill those, but God's going to bring real clarity to your life of what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to go. Kind of like you don't know what to do right now. Just do this. Go on an adventure with Jesus. And wake up every day and see what He tells you to do. And He's going to change your life. There's some rejection in your life, some things that's happened that really hurt you and brought you in despair for a season. And you kind of shut down. But God's healing them, bringing them into that. You're going to have a very good life. God's hands on your life. You're kind of also, you feel like this, that there's been some things that's happened in regard to male guys. I don't know how else to say it, but you've been disappointed by some men in your life, and it's discouraged you. And I just, there is all men put their pants on one leg at a time. We all have faults. What you do is you take the good and forgive the rest and use what God's given you. But, Father, I thank you. What's your name, son?
Stephen.
Yes, sir. Well, you're not going to be martyred in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, not that would be a bad thing. Father, I pray that you would minister to Stephen now in Jesus' name, that your hand would touch his life. Lord, he's not sure exactly where or what or how things are supposed to go about. Thank you for total clarity in his life. Lord, these voices that are not of you, they're really not godly voices at all. They're just distracting. They're like barking dogs. And you're trying to lure him in the wrong directions or basically, more than anything else, keeping passive, keeping stuck. Thank you, Father, for I break the power of those voices in Jesus' name. Thank you for ministering to him in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
In the name of the Lord. There's. I just have this, I think, for all of you, the guys that are kind of older. You have a new assignment. There's a new assignment on your life. This is not the time to sit down. This is the time to stand up. I bought into a lie because I'm a little hurt whisperer, and what I say here stays here. But he kind of told me that I was no longer relevant. You know, I travel all over the world, speak to thousands of people. I speak to small groups. Where I got a small group, thousand group, I don't care. I just like to go. But again, to begin to say that I was no longer relevant, I was no longer important. And it began to mess with me in a way that I began to lose my confidence in God. And when I began to lose my confidence in God, I began to isolate myself. And when I began to isolate myself, depression started trying to get a hold of me and lead me into places that I knew better. And that's what happens. And when God wakes you up to the fact that you lived all your life to be where you are, the assets that you have, the influence you have, and the Spirit of God on your life, you can change the world. Every single one of you can. I don't know about you guys, but I don't care if I die with millions of dollars. I care that I die saying, Lord, well done. I hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the truth is, we're only faithful because he's faithful to us. And his goodness covers each and one of our lives. Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Spirit that's on each and every man here. Spirit of God, I'm asking that you would begin to brood as you did in the days. Father, when you created the earth, that you begin to brood over each and every man. That Lord, as they lie down on their bed at night, that you would begin to rest on them. That you would awaken in them the dreams and the visions that they've had as a young man, that many have died to. That Lord, as Abraham died to the very thought of ever having a child and begin to try another way to have it, that you would awaken in them, Lord, that you would give them the dreams again. Lord, put that heavenly testosterone in their very being, that the passion of God, the fire of God, would burn in their bones once again. And God, that they would go about speaking the word of the Lord, flowing in signs and wonders and miracles for such a day as this. Father, it's time that the earth is groaning for the sons of men to come to fruition, that they would see that the kingdom of God is here. Kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I say the kingdom of God arise in these men in Jesus' name. By the Spirit of God, I stand against every demonic force that would want to hold them, cage them, enslave them. I bind you in Jesus' name, and I command you by the authority of the name of the living God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, loose them and let them go. Father, I thank you for this army of these great men. The Lord, it's still being written of them. Their resume's not stopped. Their history's not stopped. It's still being written. And the greatest is yet to come. It's not over. It's just beginning. Move by your Spirit as only you can. Equip as only you can. And fire the passion as only you can. Because we call upon the name of a living God to use us to change the world, to edify Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Well, God bless you. Thanks for having me. Enjoyed it. That's all I got.
Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Were you encouraged tonight? I tell you, those are some amazing stories. Overwhelming fatigue. Overwhelming odds. What were the three again? Overwhelming fatigue.
Yeah. Oh, now I got to look at them. Persistence and overwhelming odds. Persistence despite overwhelming fatigue, and persistence and humble assignment.
Humble assignment. Well, that's an easy one to get bogged down, isn't it? You think no one cares, no one's aware of what you're doing, but there is no assignment too small. Praise God. When you take out the trash faithfully around your house, guys, you're being faithful to your wife, That is a huge assignment in God's kingdom, and God's taking note. Amen. Great word. Thank you, Brother Terry. Thank you. And I receive it. I know the Spirit was speaking very clearly. So some of you that had the Holy Spirit nail you here in those last few sentences, those last few thoughts that Brother Terry shared, don't forget what the Lord's saying to your heart. Take it home. Write it down. Remember it. Meditate on it. Talk to God about it. Receive from it. Amen.
Amen.
And grow in Him. It's going to be a powerful year, guys. I'm so excited at what God's doing in your lives, what He's raising up here in Believers Fellowship. There's a mighty army here, and He's breathing His life into us, and we're getting stronger every day. Amen.
Amen.
We've got an assignment in Him. Won't you stand together with me? Father, we thank You tonight for all that You've done. The Spirit of God in this place, Your presence, Your peace, Jesus, Your very presence, Your very being here with us. And again, we say thank You for Your faithfulness, God, for believing in us, even at times when we didn't believe in ourselves, for qualifying us when we felt unqualified, for giving Your very lifeblood for us, Jesus, to purchase us for Your heavenly purposes. Lord, we say yes to the assignment tonight in Jesus' name. We say yes to the assignment ahead of us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, just as a reminder, we are going to post this evening's message on the internet. So in a couple days, probably by Tuesday night, you'll be able to go back through, review it. I want to encourage you to go back and listen to it again. Take notes. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to you for the new year. Amen.